What is your practice of prayer? Think about that. Where do you pray? When does it happen in your life? How do you pray? Why do you pray? So, a couple of instances, other instances of Jesus praying. In Matthew chapter 14, when Jesus walked on water, in just three verses, he says in verse 21 of Matthew 14, those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. You remember the feeding of the 5,000? Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was alone. Where do you pray? When do you pray? Jesus prayed somewhere. Jesus prayed sometime. Jesus prayed often. Are you in a better position than Jesus that you could go without prayer a little bit more than he did? That's a snarky comment from the minister, isn't it? It's rhetorical. The answer is no. If Jesus, the author of life, spend time in prayer, I must need prayer. It's very important. So Luke chapter 6, the choosing of the 12 apostles. In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer. And the day came and he called his disciples. Do you know the names of the disciples? It's a trivia question. It's in there in Luke chapter 6. Now you know forever, the rest of your life, where to find those names, to look them up. So here they are, the disciples that he chose. Simon, who's called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, and Philip. I think I got all those in other stories. Bartholomew, he'll slip off the radar. Bartholomew's there. God cares about him. Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus. And Simon, who was called Zealot, two Simons, Simon Peter, Simon the Zealot, two Jameses, James the brother of John and James the son of Alphaeus. Apostles, you can know this. And Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became the traitor, two Judases. Those are the apostles, and you can know it from Scripture. And then he came down with them, and he stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples, and a great multitude of people from Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which you could know where that was if you have a map in your Bible, Tyre and Sidon. It's kind of Lebanon. And the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out of him and healed them all. After Jesus spent time on the mountain praying all night, he made important decisions. He chose who his key people were. And everybody recognized Jesus and came to him, and the ministry was effective. It's difficult to determine the connection, wouldn't you agree, between wisdom that Jesus had to pick the right people, right? Or even the power exercised by Jesus to draw some connection between prayer and those things. Is that where this sermon is going? Is that what you're trying to say? I mean, he's God in the flesh. Does praying make that happen? Does Jesus need to pray in order to be miraculous or to be wise? Personally, I, Dave Fraser, don't even think so. He's God. He's the author of life. But Jesus modeled prayer, and he did spend that night in prayer. He would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Do you? The results following are a confirming fact of his authority. Jesus is definitely God. He knows what people are thinking. He commands reality. He does all things well. Jesus prays. I ought to. Jesus is God, the Son, and he has given us an example of prayer to follow. But we may say that Jesus wasn't praying just to recharge and have power. That's fair enough to say. In Mark chapter 1, so the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark, just before Luke, only just a couple of pages over, there's another aspect of Jesus praying. It says he healed many who were sick in verse 34 of Mark chapter 1. He healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. What's up with Jesus saying, don't tell anybody? It's not because he doesn't want the gospel to go out. It's because everybody crowds the trough where Jesus is to be healed. Touch me, touch me, touch my baby. I'm trying to teach you about salvation and the forgiveness of sins. Feed me, heal me, heal me. It makes Jesus' job hard when these things crowd into the place of ministry that he occupies. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark in verse 35, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him, and they said to him, everyone's looking for you. Come on back to the feeding and the healing ministry. Come and do the stuff. Everyone's looking for you. In verse 38, Jesus said to them, let's go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. It's important to recognize Jesus wasn't praying for a charge up, for more healing. Why did he pray? Why do you pray? Do you pray? So, Luke chapter 9, it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. That's verse 18 of chapter 9. Now it happened as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. And he asked them, who do the crowd say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But others say Elijah. And others that one of the prophets of old has risen. And then he said to them, who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, the Christ of God. And Jesus strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, the Son of Man, look at verse 22, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Jesus praying alone brought people with him. So he wasn't alone. So what does that mean? But definitely getting away from the major crowd, pulling away, and brings people with him. And these people who are with Jesus, these people who, when speaking to Jesus, are effectively in a communication with God in front of them. And I would say that prayer is that. So they have the fortune, the great fortune, of at that period in history, face to face with God, praying in a back and forth conversation with a living, breathing human being. But that is prayer. And so if you think that when I pray to God over here and I got me in a ceiling, but I believe God's there, is different than these guys talking to Jesus Christ, I would ask you, what is your relationship with God? And where is the Holy Spirit in your life? And are you in a room alone? Or is God present? And do you speak to him? And does he speak to you? And if you haven't had that experience, are you settling for less? Because I just write my letters and I put stamps and I mail them and I think he gets them. But I don't want to ask too much. When you pray, what's happening as you pray? These people talking to Jesus Christ heard prophetic revelation of his death and resurrection. And they didn't get it. They could have known from this day forward, Jesus was going to die and rise again on the third day. They remembered it after his resurrection. This guy, Luke, he wrote it down. But they said, you know what? He told us that beforehand a couple of times. Prayer is knowing what God is up to in your life. Having had spent time with him, and know where you're going, because me and God, we've been talking about that. I believe this is the way. Now you could go off and be in a private conversation and be the only one who thinks the things that you think. I don't think that's healthy either. We've seen that before. There's a confirmation in fellowship and relationship with believers who pray, who are hearing the same things from God that He's saying to others. And getting together in fellowship, there's the calibration. Oh yeah, that's the Lord. I don't think that's the Lord. That's the Lord. You know, God told me we need to fill in the blank of a crazy idea. And everybody else in the room goes, yeah, no, that's not God. Yeah, I don't think so. I think it is, you know. Well, but if you're the only one, how reliable is that? Is the temperance there in fellowship? But we want to be people who pray. We want to be people who pray for real. We want to be people who know that when we're praying that this is a real thing. Right? Because there are churches, plenty of churches, numerous, innumerable churches that say the way to practice prayer is this way. And you go in there and you go, wow, not this way, not me, not ever. And you don't have to go to those churches. You don't have to be a part of those churches. You know? But if there are a room full of people who say, no, we're pretty sure that this is the way God's doing it, then you say, great, you guys go be church over there. Like really way over there sometimes. Right? But prayer happening. In that same chapter 9, a little bit further down in verse 28, it says 8 days after these things, Jesus prophetically revealing that he would die and rise again. 8 days after these things, he took with him Peter and John and James, who you know now, those are apostles, right? He took them and he went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face was altered and his clothing became dazzling white. People praying with Jesus saw the change in Jesus of his fellowship with God, transformed. Moses going up the mountain to be with God came down with a notable glow on his face, meeting with God. He would withdraw to desolate places and pray. That's how we stepped off into this subject from Luke chapter 5. And we see that he also takes people with him to pray in chapter 9. He prays alone. He prays with people. People who pray see God at work. People who pray know God. People who pray recognize God when he's at work. The scripture tells us in Psalm 25, verse 14, that the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. Do you know that as the secret of the Lord is for those who fear him? That's a King James version. It's most often translated as counsel. The counsel of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. Do you pray alone? Do you pray with others? From the scripture, we can see clearly that Jesus does. Is that an example for you to follow? Would you agree that scripture points that out?